In terms of aesthetic.
Well, the ordinance gives a formula for the amount of square footage per sign.
Right, per sign, yeah.
Right, and certainly with the way the signage is in example to that, you're gonna be over the square.
You're gonna be restricted, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So quite frankly, if somebody really wants to try and make a case for why they should have one large one, they're gonna have to see if they can get a variance or not.
Well, if you go with preferred signage, you're not gonna go there anyway, right?
I can tell you right off the bat, preferred signage, 200 square foot, non-preferred signage, 100 square foot.
Okay, that's a reason.
You're getting twice the signage for preferred, but it's also gotta be.
Less than 8 feet in height?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's requirements for it.
Less than 8 feet in height, needs to be a monument type sign, but, and that would be for the entire project. Mr. Weber?
One other question, has there been or will there be an economic impact study?
Well, that's not appropriate with the stage that we're at now. The applicant has asked that we do a curative amendment, which is a new, basically a new ordinance that'll be specified to this use. They have not presented any specific uses, so that type of a study wouldn't be appropriate until we get to them.
Right, so.
Is that correct?
At what point does that happen?
That's correct, Mike.
Yeah.
Is there, in the township ordinances, that requires an economic study at some point under whatever circumstances?
I don't believe there is, and quite frankly, we're relying on your comprehensive plan, which says that commercial development should be right on, right here.
We can ask to prove the need.
That's part of the conditional use.
We can ask to prove the need, that's part of the conditional use.
That's all part of the conditional use.
Yeah.
One of the standards is there's a need for the use.
So that, yes, the answer is yes.
And I would agree, I think if I didn't do that, that would be a reason for you to turn it down. On the other hand, to have to do a study that costs money and time, when you already have said this is the appropriate place for commercial, maybe not this commercial, but commercial in general, I don't think we should have to do an actual study, no.
The only thing that I have, Andy, is, and I brought this up maybe, Tony, you might recall about 3 meetings ago. Because of the location of the property, you might wanna add in the PUCD ordinance that if it's located, that it has to also comply with section 426, which is the wellhead protection ordinance. I think I brought that up maybe 3 or 4 meetings ago.
I'm sure you did, I don't recall that one, but I don't know that that's.
Yeah, 'cause it's along the aquifer, so, you know, it don't have to be, you know, those issues with the water authority and containment.
Okay, I'll add that in.
Yep. And I know.
Well, conditional uses say you have to comply with every provision of your zoning ordinance, right?
Correct.
So it's a kind of a catch-all to say, you guys can bring that up.
Yeah, but I don't want somebody else to, I don't wanna mislead anyone.
Yeah, it's better you know about it upfront.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, I have good direction, good thoughts here to add in. I'll circulate that in short order.
Andy, I guess the biggest discussion that has to be had with the PC is the differential in the setbacks between what's being, what's in the 414.1 and what they're requesting.
Well, right now, I'm hearing, keep it as is. Which is basically taking from section 414.4.
Right.
I'm not hearing anything from the PC to alter that.
Well, the only confusion that's gonna create ultimately is on the front setback, if you're gonna have the service road in the front of these properties. So are you gonna include the service road in the setback? Do you see what I'm saying? 'Cause that's developed land.
I don't think the layout works for the service road.
We discussed the service road being behind the stores, providing accessibility. That's what we discussed.
Right, that's, okay. But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you do lay it out that way, that would create an issue with that.
I do understand.
Okay, so.
Because currently it's 75 feet in all yards.
And that's going to be from the right of way.
From the right of way.
So are we suggesting for the front yard setback, that may be reduced from the 75-foot requirement under certain conditions?
I don't know. They're requesting 50 and 35.
Yeah.
50 in the front, 35 in the sides and rear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good setback.
But that's a question that I'll leave to the planning commission.
And there, you know, I mean, quite frankly, because I've been doing this a while, there was a time where, you know, you needed increased setbacks because you needed more area to fit in the detention basins and other stormwater controls. You know, with the evolution of infiltration, the ability to be able to work that so that you can not have to take up as much ground area, I think eliminates the need for the setback. And so the only reason for the setback would be, oh, I don't want that close to me. Well, I'm not sure what it is that 75 feet is designed to protect. If it's to keep area green so that we can control stormwater, that makes sense. But if you can come in with a plan that says, I can control stormwater and still meet the 50 and 35s, then I don't know why that shouldn't be allowed.
Do we look at the aesthetics from that view too, then?
Well, you know, there is, I mean, the one aesthetic concern, which I've always agreed made sense, is if you're commercial and you bump up against residential, you need to do something. I actually prefer if you have the right way to plant, that's a better thing than even being 15 more feet or 25 more feet. You know, I'd rather put up evergreens that are spaced right and maintained. You know, one of the things about having a controlled thing is chances are better that they'll be maintained. I can't guarantee it because I've had trees die on projects I've been involved with. But at least if you got somebody who wants to keep bringing those tenants in, they're normally going to be more inclined to maintain those. I think those would be good. Obviously, I don't know that you necessarily need that on the side that happens to be up against the township building, but maybe those of you who work at the township want to see that too. You know?
I think, Patrick, also, we said that we want stores to be closer to the road for visibility, but also because you don't want to see a parking up front, in front of them. And we can spread out the parking behind the stores.
As best we can.
Yes. Be, yeah. Either way.
Correct.
Okay.
But the 50 feet is kind of an in-between there. Yes. It's greater than what the township requires for an individual lot, which is 35 feet, mm-hmm. but it's not the 75 feet that's taking up quite a bit more area.
Yeah. Gentlemen?
And then,
I got to think on that one, because the whole idea of the setback in the front was when you're driving down the road, what you're looking at. You don't want to be looking at building, 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 building. We want a nice area to look at within the buildings. And you can't say it's never been done. If you've ever been down in South Jersey, a lot of those roads down there, you can't even see the buildings or stores from the road. They just have a sign out front with a driveway and it's all trees. Personally, I do like that. But I understand visual sight of something too. I've passed a lot of stores down there.
Plus pine barrens down there than there used to be, but you're right. Sometimes you can, I just went through an area up in Massachusetts where, you know, there was a big shopping center, but you had to drive a quarter mile in to get to it.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot more, a lot less forest up there though than there was, you know, but.
I think
my point is it could always be worse.
Yeah. That's true.
So then for the sake of everybody's time, Mr. Belwar and Mr. Waldron, where are we at this point in time, given the letter that we're addressing in the beginning?
Well, I mean, I appreciate there seems to be some willingness to work with us on a couple of areas here. I still think that the idea that we have to just count on the 25%, you know, I guess I looking at this, and I'd like to talk to my client before I commit to it, But looking at that one section, where the section 414 is being put into the Gerd amendment here, I think if the language said that although it's set at 25, if you do this, then you shall, you know, go to 65, and then to 75 still maybe.
Yeah.
I'd be more comfortable with that. But I've occasionally had people throw back in my face that the word says may, not shall, yeah, or will, you know. Right. And that can be tough to deal with.
Shall
you just don't have people inclined to work with you.
The fact is the infrastructure costs of
if you put shall, if
and
you,
the highway improvements, traffic light, are going to be so great that unless we're at 65%, we don't have a project.
And that's where we've been coming from. You know, if you want to say 65%, but you got to show the stormwater, well, I think that's a given, but I have no problem with spelling that out, unless somebody thinks that, oh, well, maybe I can...
No, but the shall point then is, then you have to prove at the conditional use stage that you're able to do that.
That's the way to change it is to say, provided all minimum yard are 75 feet, and provided all other requirements are met, the minimum lot coverage may be increased to 65%. It takes it out of the board of supervisors having discretion. So that solves Mr. Waldron's issue. And then it keeps in the 75 foot setback requirement. And then the next question is, do you provide the board of supervisors with discretion to reduce the 75 foot for the front yard setback upon a certain showing?
Well, you seem to be indicating that we're fine with the 75 foot, and I tried to make as good an argument as I could about why I don't think that that's really necessary. And that I believe that was something that was written into ordinances a while back when there weren't as many options for how you manage stormwater. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I still don't know what the justification for that is. And no, we're not in the business of trying to get approvals by challenging ordinances, but yet, you know, if you have a chance to look at something and it maybe doesn't fit the way it did 25 years ago, you know, sometimes, or 20 years ago, sometimes it's worth looking at. So 75 feet is still a problem, even if it is saying, well, yeah, you get your stormwater right, then you get 65%, maybe even more, but you get 65%. If it's still got to be the 75 feet, that just eats up a lot of area. It just does. And I don't know why it's really necessary, given the type of controls that still exist. If there needs to be side, buffer area or planning, better planning, that's fine. Obviously, you're not going to plan across the front. You want people to be able to see it. But if I was doing an individual project on this property, it'd be only 35 feet. We're suggesting, the 50 feet is kind of a compromise there. But I don't know why the 75 feet has to be on the sides and the back. Certainly, the back isn't benefiting. Nobody in the back is benefiting by that setback. But I don't think they're really benefiting much.
In your case.
Yeah.
And you go up Route 6.
Well, if there's a residential,
you go up Route 6, you got residences behind them.
Well, then you have a provision about residential has to be.
But you also have other properties behind it that aren't developed. So what do you do in that case?
Well, they might be zoned residential.
I mean, this property, you don't have anything behind you. It goes into the county property, and that's it. But,
well, if it's residential zoned, you would still have to deal with it.
Oh, right.
Or if it was... it even says, even if it's not residentially zoned, if it's residentially developed, meaning people build both houses there anyway.
But you have low growth areas which aren't residential and can have neighborhood commercial in them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not getting anywhere now.
You know, that's a bounce back there, because we do have areas where it can be affected by that.
Well, maybe you go in 300 or 500 feet from the highway and then it's residential behind there. I've seen that done.
We're at 1,000?
Yep.
Yeah, we're at 1,000 feet. But that's, again, it's not residential. You might have low growth. There's a difference. You know, low growth is between residential and commercial.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure that Kevin wants to move on. I want to move on too.
Well, that's what I, that's...
He indicated he's going to make a couple of changes. Those are good. Is there any possibility that your next, the workshop meeting is not for 3 weeks, and the regular meeting is not for 5 weeks from today? Is there any possibility that action can be taken at your workshop meeting? If it's advertised, I'll pay for the advertising myself to save you a few bucks. But just from the point of view of 3 weeks to kind of look at what he does, you guys look at it and come back and try and make a decision then. Because, like I said, the meeting, I believe, would be the 28th.
I think out of practical concern for the procedural thing, to ask us to I think we should use the workshop meeting and then vote at our regular meeting.
Yeah, because we can't even make a vote at the workshop.
We legally that can be done with the right advertising.
By advertising, but we have made it a
policy of this board to not make decisions that are pertinent at our workshop meetings.
Okay.
That's been right along.
That's something that we've done. So if you're agreeing that if you feel that you and Mr. Belwar are at a point where you're at some serious agreement now for the rest of the balance of what we're doing, then we could read that and then make a vote on our regular meeting. Is that appropriate, Mr. Belwar? What do you feel?
Yeah, it's going to take a little bit to get this out to the board or out to the planning commission and to Mr. Waldron, get everybody to review it, make sure we're on the same page. And it seems like the workshop meeting is the place to make sure we're all on the same page and then have your vote at your regular meeting.
All right, well, I think that our biggest hang up right now is going to be that 25%.
Yeah.
I'm going to submit something to Andy to look at, if that's all right with you, Andrew, on section 5.
I think we're at the point where you two gentlemen should be able to work most of this out. Wouldn't you believe?
I think so too.
Well, I'd like to. Sure.
I mean, we're
Joe,
not.
If the word is may, it's a problem for me.
The request from the applicant to do something other than a 75-foot setback on all sides.
That's right. The 75-foot setback to 50. Is there an issue with you?
Okay, let's settle that part.
Let's settle that part now.
I'm just explaining when I said what I said. I was explaining why.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the same goes for the percentage of lot coverage. The reason that got changed was because we do have a lot of 1 acre parcels.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Those people, if they stayed at 25%, you can't build anything on it worthwhile.
No project. No.
So,
no,
you know, we're looking two and ways.
I can't support the shall. May with some real tight criteria so that you know you can get to the 65, but the shall certainly gives the wrong.
Well, if I say something along the lines, I'm going to try and sweeten it even more, but if I say something along, provided that we demonstrate that we can, you know, handle stormwater management, that you will. If I say may, if you say may, that means you might still say no, just for no reason, because you don't like the project. I mean, that's where I get some concern there, that's not being objective.
In all honesty, I would say if you met everything in the ordinance and you met the stormwater and you met everything possible and we said no, I would think you would take us to court and we'd lose.
Well,
and
you know, somebody said that, I think Andrew indicated that previously, well, if you meet it, then you have it. Then why do we have to keep May? Because now you're telling me to spend $10,000 of my client's money and possibly anywhere from 6 months to 2 years to get a good answer. Because if I have
it's
going to
cost us money too. So
it is.
There's not a good reason to say no if everything meets the way the ordinance reads and the conditions.
But okay, so So are you proposing that you do enough engineering to prove that?
Well, that's, I realize I'm painting myself into that box.
Well,
I
mean, if it's going to be a shell, then there's got to be a concrete reason why it should be shell.
And I don't run Jim's business by any means. In fact, I got talked into this job by a friend of mine, at least I think he is. I think if I'm going to invest the kind of money to make that work, I better figure that out anyway. Because how far down the road am I going to go if I don't know it? Now,
right.
You know, if I have to do all the engineering for every part of the project, and there's still a chance I'm going to get a no, that's not a good investment. But if the stormwater is an element as to whether I can fit what I want to do on this project and get the right tenants in there, I think I try and get an engineer to work with me. Now, Patrick might tell me that I'm crazy, but I get where you're coming from, and I think that's kind of the language I would, after all, if I throw in there that says, provided that I can show that, well, then I got to show it.
Does that mean, though, you have to get stormwater approval from the municipality, from the county planning, from county engineer, from conservation district, from DEP?
Yeah.
That's a significant effort, right?
Yeah.
Not really, because when you go for your NPDES permit, you're going to have to do all that anyway.
But then you got the zoning approval. You at least know that if you can meet those requirements, you have to.
Well, you would be showing us that you are willing to put in the work in order to get the word shell.
The whole boogeyman in all of this is the fact that we've put the conditional use ahead of the land development instead of doing them together. This is the boogeyman in the whole thing.
But the requirements for land development, which, for example, include NPDES, are so time-consuming and money-consuming that I think people want to know whether they're allowed to do it. You know, I know Tony McNaught has heard me say this, but I tend to tell people that zoning is a question of if, and land development's a question of when.
When, yeah.
When you get it right, you have to get approval. With zoning, you might have it right and still not get approval. Or get tied up in an appeal that goes on for so long that the project's no longer viable. You know? And so I agree there are times when I don't like that the one has to come before the other. And you're not prohibited from submitting land development when you do conditional use. I know people that have done that.
No, but from our seat, you understand why it's as problematic as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not...
But let me take a crack anyway at the, I don't want to belabor your time, at Section 5 on there before you send out your next draft. I'm going away on Sunday for a week, so I'm going to get it to you by the end of this week. So.
All right, so then we're not in a position where you're going to formally give the curative amendment to the supervisors until we...
I'm inclined not to.
Said that that's what you were choosing to do. So
my project. I'm paid by someone.
I understand.
Right. You're asking me to answer a question that I should ask out in the parking lot.
Right. So then.
All right. I think we're pointing in the right direction.
Yeah.
Okay. Good deal.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate all your time. Thank you.
Mr. Belvoir, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Belvoir. Thank you.
Have a great evening.
Talk to you soon, Andy.
Yes, sir.
Good night, Tony. Where are you going?
I'm flying with my good friend Steve Guccini up to Cape Breton, Nova Scotia.
Nice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Actually, Steve and I see each other every Saturday.
The two of you? That sounds like a record.
No, the four of us.
Like a record.
No, it's
Steve and I meet
you. As you know, I'm not a hard-drinking...
Yep, no, I know.
But it's lovely up there. We're going to be there at the beginning of the fall.
Wonderful.
In fact, my brother, ironically enough, from Virginia, was just up there.
Up there, the fall's already started, yeah?
Yeah, it started.
Yeah.
But it's not over. It shouldn't be.
So, right, yeah, no.
Sunday, so,
good deal. Yeah. Good deal.
Have
Thank
good
you.
I was up there in May.
Number five, correspondence. Sir, okay. Why do we have correspondence on it?
Other than Mr. Waldron's letter. What was that?
Is that the only thing that we had?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Data centers regulations.
Gave you a bunch of different things to look at. Seems like seems like it's a hot subject, and the county has one. The county has an ordinance that they also provide it.
Pike County?
Pike County.
Okay.
Did you get that?
No,
I didn't. Oh. I didn't have a chance to read these. So.
Okay, well, no. Mr. Mrzinski, as part of Imagine...
The county has adopted it.
As part of Imagine 2025, they actually did what they're calling the sample ordinance for municipalities for data centers and data center accessory uses. So it's a 7-page ordinance. I also gave you one that was recently adopted by the Borough of Archbald, where they've actually issued a building permit for one. And I also gave you one that was recently adopted by
Chestnut Hill Township. All right, so what is your opinion of these ordinances? And
I like the one from I like the one from Archbald because of the dimensional standards. The dimensional standards for any data center is a minimum lot area of 120 acres, so it really restricts where it can go. I don't know if they're going to get away with it or not, but sounds good to me. Just for example, the county's ordinance. The county ordinance didn't really have any minimum acreage. They're kind of leaving that up, but they're talking about 300 feet from a residential property, which I think is a little close.
300 feet is not far.
1,000 feet from waterways.
Do we have the one for Archibald?
Archibald has 120 acres minimum lot size.
I got one for Chestnut Hill.
You don't have Archibald?
No, I don't have Archibald. Sure.
No.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's
should.
Oh, it's at the back. Okay.
Yeah, Chestnut Hill.
I got it.
The Archibald calls it right out and says, okay, we're going to have data center apparatus, all that nice stuff, and dimensional standards for data centers are 120 acres, minimum lot size.
I want to read these.
Yeah, you should definitely read these over. Yep. Well, these things are enormous. I've actually seen one in Fairfax County, Virginia.
I work in them.
Okay. There was one. The one that was down near my daughter's house in Fairfax County was 447,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And then the accessory buildings were probably half that.
Yeah, Amazon's making it. They have a huge one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's the problem with them?
They use a lot of water. They're noisy.
Well, they're noisy.
And
they use water and they use power.
They also use septic water to cool them. With a system. And again, we'd have to look at what happens if the line broke, what kind of mess it's going
to
make.
Well, you have to have enough septic water. In this area, they wouldn't have enough septic water.
No, they could import it.
Those are huge data centers that they're talking about. Yeah. Like, you know, the one at Amazon, they're using water, obviously, to cool. They have a direct tap into that nuclear plant, though, up there. And they're using Susquehanna, to cool everything. But smaller data centers, I've been in data centers that are smaller than this fucking, pardon my French, this building here. Mm-hmm.
Right, but what's the problem with them? They say they're very noisy.
They're not, though. They're honest to God, they're not very noisy. If the power kicks out or something like that, you have generators, obviously.
Yeah, I need to hear it all.
You're going to hear the generators kick on and stuff like that because it's all
you know, it's critical power.
Is it frequency?
There's no.
I thought there was a frequency.
There's no free, you're not going to hear frequency noise. No.
Yeah, and most
it's just server racks. That's all it is. It's just like the cloud. It's like, right. It's just huge rooms that have, I mean, I'll show you pictures. There's those huge rooms of just server racks.
Yeah, and a lot of these are steel and mortar and brick.
Yeah, it's all
so it's
brick.
Not something.
There's data centers all over, and you never know it was a data center. It's just a building. And
a cinder block building.
Exactly.
Concrete block.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is like, they're usually gated. Yeah, they're usually gated because like security and stuff like that. Because it's just real estate. You know, Bank of America might have, you know, use their servers or Disney or whoever. You know.
Yeah, so. Large corporations are having a big difficult time.
So what do they have to have to make them work?
Electricity.
Power is the biggest. The biggest thing is utility. If they don't have enough utility,
and how are
they could only have so much. You know, there's only so much power. So it depends on, you know, the area that you're in. They're going to see how much power they could get to the building to see if it's even,
does
you
it
know,
make sense for them to put one here?
No.
Here?
Not with our power.
Not at
not
all.
Not without power, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling
you. No one's really, they're not going to come through here. Like, that's why, like, Amazon's doing the, it's huge, it's miles long.
The only
and
thing
they're
that
tapped
would,
in right to the nuclear plant. Because
the only thing
the
that would allow them to have sufficient power here is if they were to get hooked up with the gas company. And figure it out.
And figure something out that way, yeah.
That's the only.
Like, come on.
Yeah. We have to go through that again.
Yeah. That's the only.
We were afraid of that, and that property just got sold.
No. Yeah. Amazon's
Kale's,
really going to take over the whole market.
Again?
Kale has just got sold again.
Mm-hmm. The piece next to the. And
the sold piece that the piece that the right of way from that Pinchos got to go to Pinchos. That the property across the street from
sold
my mom's whatever the heck it is now.
Yeah. So it got sold to who?
I don't know, but there's people living there full time now.
Oh God.
It's in noisy. that old
shack down there with the pond, yeah. The swamp. It wasn't a pond. The last time I was down there it wasn't a pond, it was so overgrown.
Most ponds are all green now anyway.
Actually, they weren't. They were all overgrown, but weren't. They really weren't terrible.
But that's
so,
it
but
for
smaller data centers. Yes. Are they like regional data centers too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean the smaller stuff. They just they're not going like every company, you know, needs data space and stuff like that.
So yeah, because everybody's gone to cloud based.
Everything is on the cloud, but the cloud is really just a data center. That's all it is.
Sure.
It's not just
that's
floating.
What I mean.
It's going somewhere, and it's going to these data centers. And Amazon's really going to take over the whole market. And next 5 years, they're gonna bully out every data center out there until they drop the ball, essentially. But Facebook's making a huge one in Manhattan right now, like a huge one. So. I don't think that here in Pike County, it's not. We don't have, if we had a nuclear plant or something like that in our backyard, then I'd say, yeah, definitely.
The only thing that would be worrisome to me is if MetEd ever built a distribution line.
If they built
it 50 years ago.
Yeah. If something like that came through and they had the power to really do it, then yes.
If they did the high,
but they
power
could do
line.
A smaller scale data center.
Well, yeah, they
you
would.
Wouldn't. The generators are the biggest thing. That's it, because.
But they've
they
been saying for
50
years
a
they're
blackout.
Going to go.
Right. Yeah,
blackout,
no, that's what I mean.
All the information gets stolen. Yada yada yada. They'll lose all their clients. So the biggest thing is the critical power. That's where I work in. Like I do, you know, with Wally and stuff for power systems.
Mm-hmm.
We just take care of all the generators and stuff like that.
Good.
And then the UPS systems that come in between.
Kevin, I have good news for you.
What's
John and I talked about the zoning warehouse standards.
Yeah.
We had a great discussion the other day. He's going to send me a draft. I think he said by Friday because he's going away next week. And I'm going to have it, and I'll have it for our workshop to go over with him.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Mixed use amendment, he and I both decided that that's no longer necessary. Because we're going to handle any commercial development with this. And if somebody wants to come in for mixed use, let them propose the amendment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any idea what DEP is doing with the 537 plan. When I approached Scott Novotnik after my last meeting at DEP with him on something else, he says, don't ask me about Milford. That's all he said. So I don't know what that means.
Being recorded, or I tell you.
That's still the Matamor, the Westfall Matamoros update.
Yeah, don't ask me about Milford. And that's all I have to report.
Anything else for the good of the order, so to speak?
Under correspondence, I took my application. Would you like to consider that? Are you interested?
Well, that needs to first go, that needs to be addressed to the, did I see a letter?
Yeah, it's in there.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't even see it. Sorry, Sean.
Okay. Has that gone to the supervisors?
No, I thought the planning commission members would recommend it to the board of supervisors.
I don't think it gets submitted to us, right?
No, it goes to.
It goes right. Yeah, we're appointed by the supervisors.
We're appointed by the supervisors. That's your direct.
I think your letter is to the board. The one I'm looking at.
Oh, okay.
Where?
So no.
Well, you sent it to the supervisor by email, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the one I have, August 25th.
Let me see that one. That's not in here, right? Is that in what I gave you? Yeah, this is to the board.
The other correspondence was Mike's resignation.
Yes.
Yes.
I saw that in
here, especially since he resigned.
Yeah, I think he's.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. Yeah.
I would forward this to the board of supervisors.
Thank you.
Being that you're the seated secretary of both boards, I think that's something that they should weigh in on. That's my personal opinion. I don't know. As an alternate.
Got to be looked at.
That's what you're asking, as an alternate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the, are we looking to have two alternates, or are we looking to have?
Well, in the past, we've had two alternates.
Yeah, we had Steve.
We had two alternates in the past.
Yeah, we had two alternates in the past, so.
Mm-hmm. And what's the?
We don't even have a full complement right now, so.
I believe the...
Michael is not...
I believe the discussion at the last supervisor's meeting was whether alternates were needed. I recall that coming up during our meeting.
And would the alternates fill the space of a vacant member?
If they're not present, the MPC says that you can have up to two alternates.
Okay.
And it's up to the chairman of the meeting. So in this case, you, or if you were absent, Bob.
There's Ray.
Ray. So if you were Ray, in either case, would acknowledge them as a voting member at the beginning of the meeting, or not acknowledge them as a voting member. So in other words, if you already have a quorum, you
it's
wouldn't need them. Okay. But if you have an even number, it might be a good idea to...
Okay, but
yeah, if you had four, and there was an alternate here,
you would want to make it.
And there is an anticipated vote.
Correct.
Okay, and in the case of a vacancy, then is that filled by the alternates automatically, or no?
That's totally up to the board of supervisors.
Okay.
Yeah, if they appoint them as alternate, that's it. Now, obviously, they would take into effect if the alternate goes to every meeting. I think that's what happened one other time. Because the alternates would come here. What was it, Steve, and who else?
Steve.
What was his name?
Was it
Steve Owens and Steve Davis?
Yeah,
right. Steve Davis.
Yeah, Steve Owens and Steve Davis were alternates.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, if they come to the meetings, that's one thing. But if they don't, then the board can appoint whoever they want.
Then you have to. Okay. So. Did you discuss this at the board supervisors meeting? Did they discuss your being an alternate?
I don't think they did.
I think it was tabled, right?
It was tabled,
right? Yeah.
Okay.
For the planning commission's recommendation.
Huh?
It was tabled for planning board's recommendation.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, There you go.
So the supervisors did take action on it.
They wanted you to look at it first. House has the planning board.
Okay. So, any opinions?
My only opinion is that we haven't been able to fill a quorum, so I was looking, you know, I was looking to get some other people in the seats so we could, you know, be able to meet the needs of the public.
And as an alternate.
You know, to have options. I would take anyone who the supervisors recommend at this point. I don't have an opinion on personnel.
The woman who was here, was she here to view the meeting, or is she here?
She's on the zoning hearing board.
Oh, is that who this is?
Yeah, Beth Camaro.
Okay.
I don't know. It's been so long since we had a zoning hearing. I don't know who's that anymore.
Well,
although it sounds like we might be having one.
Well, Phyllis Simpson and
Phyllis passed.
Yeah. And,
Eddie Ryman.
Eddie Ryman both died. Did you appoint new?
Vogelsberg.
Huh?
Beth Quimerly and Vogelsberg. Eric Vogelsberg.
That's
Vogelsberg, right.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Don't know either
one. Yeah, he came to our meeting, last meeting we had, sat in the back.
Okay.
So we do have three members.
He was going to be a possible zoning officer at one point, but he can't walk.
Well, that makes it difficult.
I don't think we want you following on the job.
So at our, what is the date of our workshop?
Your workshop is...
9th.
October 9th.
On October 9th, then we'll make a recommendation.
And the supervisors will have it on the 20th.
Right, okay. Then they'll have it, right?
Yep.
All right, gentlemen.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate
motion
it.
Motion to adjourn.
I make a motion we adjourn.
Thank you. Nobody's on there, right?
And I hope you didn't mind that I interrupted a couple of times because I really didn't want to go back there.